This is Greg Gutfeld, and this is The One. So, you know what we're talking about. We're going to be talking about terror. As you know, yesterday, Tuesday, there was a terror attack in New York City. Eight were killed, murdered after an ISIS-inspired attack performed by an immigrant who came from Uzbekistan on a diversity visa in 2010. With me today is retired Green Beret Master Sergeant and host of the Outdoor Channel's Hollywood Weapons, Terry Schappert. If you watched Red Eye and you know my show, The Greg Gutfeld Show, you know Terry Schappert well. He is just a brilliant thinker when it comes to this sort of stuff, and he speaks his mind, and that's why I thought I'd have him on today. Master Sergeant Schappert, how are you?
That's so funny, having you call me Master Sergeant.
I know.
It's like, hey, it just seems wrong. I'm quite okay, Esquire. I'm quite well.
Thank you. So, you know, I know when these things happen, you text me immediately, and you it's because you get angry and you're frustrated. So, what frustrates you and what angers you about this particular event?
Well, it's kind of – yeah, man, it's funny because you and I have this open line, and it happened yesterday, and I think I just texted you. I said, cue the same people saying the same things that won't change a damn thing. So, you know, it's – here's the thing. Today, just for example, though, I did an experiment, Greg.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're scientists, you and I.
That's true.
We're PhDs in idiocy. And so my experiment was, I haven't listened to the news all day about this.
Right.
And I wanted to talk. I knew we were going to be speaking today. And I thought, all right, here's some things I guarantee, Greg. You've probably been following it because, you know, you have to. We're going to find out this. Here's what we're going to find out. He's got friends and family who say he was a good guy and they didn't see this coming.
Right.
Is that probably true or not?
Absolutely, yeah.
Of course, yeah, of course. They're stunned. No one had any idea, right?
Yeah.
So then the another one is he had ties or was associated with various mosques that some of them may have had some hateful leanings or perhaps had been surveilled. And that was taken off the list because they weren't allowed to do that. I don't know if that's happened yet or not. We'll see. I don't know where he's from. I know he was New Jersey, New York. I think he did stuff in Florida. We'll find out that, you know, he was with some various mosques that, you know, haven't really said the nicest things about America.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be coming out, too. We're also going to find out that he probably had zero record, zero a criminal background that would warrant us surveilling him, you know, tapping him, following him, and doing that kind of stuff. I bet that's going to come out. He probably had no reason for us to think he was going to do this. And another thing is, we're going to find out that it's, you know, it's easy to rent a car. It's easy to rent a truck. It's easy to do that kind of stuff. I bet I'm right on all those things so far.
Mm-hmm.
And when this happened, I thought to myself, here we go again. All the networks were saying the same thing, and all the usual experts coming in and saying things like, well, we need to blah, 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 blah. We're not, you know, Greg, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this. You really can't stop these guys from doing that. I mean, do you agree with that at this point?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, in a society, if a truck going down the road can kill people, if you wish to kill people, you can get into a truck and you could run over people. And there's I know this sounds grim, but I've said this before on The Five. I would prefer these kinds of horrible terror attacks over what I think might happen in the future, which is a marriage of technology and terror. Like, I'm worried about the bigger spectaculars that are coming our way. And I talk about that a lot. I don't think we can – I do think you can reduce the risk of attacks like these by hardening soft targets, putting up barriers. But you can't do it everywhere. And they always do try to seek the path of least resistance. So if you're able to put up a barrier on this path down on the West Side Highway, they're going to find another place.
They'll find – no, that's my point.
Yeah.
This is exactly what happened. If you remember, you brought me on the Greg Gutfeld Show, which is a fabulous program.
Thank you.
You brought me on the Greg Gutfeld Show right after Barcelona, and
yeah,
we talked. You said exactly what you just said,
mm-hmm,
and I did sort of a 2-minute thing, and I'll say it again.
Yeah.
Let's talk about how we stop these people. the foreign policy stuff where we're fighting overseas, that's another issue. But let's talk about the people who are either born here or moved here or naturalized here and are thinking about doing this. You know, I told you my background. Most of my career, I was a Green Beret medic. 5 years I ran my own team. I've bled with people from that part of the world. We used to, by the way, we had a lot of special forces guys move in and out of Uzbekistan. Tashkent was the capital. Mm-hmm. When the Afghan war kicked off, that was a very important staging area for the United States, interestingly enough.
Mm-hmm.
Those people, and that's kind of interesting if he was around at that time because he's been here for a few years.
Yes, it's 2010.
You know, but so here's the thing. We know that people who ascribe to that ideology are family, clan, and tribe driven. Mm-hmm. That's really what they care about. And I know this because I've lived with them. I've performed medical aid for them. I've fought alongside of them. So in the United States, the only thing we can do to really stop them, since they're obviously, we can't sit them down and talk to them about being reasonable because that's not how they're thinking. We have to make them understand that if you do this, if you drive a truck down on the West Side area on the bike path and kill people, your family is gone. They're going back to Uzbekistan. Your friends, if we have any link to them, they're going back. That's the only way to stop this. And I get it. I remember Kat and I got into a conversation about this. Kennedy was on the show. And it was, I said, listen, I understand it. I don't want to do the big, heavy surveillance things. I don't want to start building bike barriers.
Right.
Because you know what I mean? Like, dude, people already forget. I'm flying tomorrow. I have to pack tonight. I'm not allowed to bring a bottle of water on a plane for a very specific reason. Not because people forget. The reason I'm not allowed to do that is because an Islamic woman was willing to sacrifice herself and her child with plastic liquid explosives in a bottle. So now we live with that. Now I can't bring a protein shake or a bottle of water on a plane. I have to take my shoes off. Well, now I don't because I get to do the TSA thing. But you get what I'm saying. Now laptops are – so all – just little by little, we start getting choked off of our freedoms because we don't want to take away something from the people that we know. We know who these people are.
Yeah.
And if we don't – and since we don't know who they are, though, specifically – we put that whole community on notice and say, listen, by your own words, you've told us you are family driven. You are very, very it's a very important thing to you. That means you know what's going on in the community. So if you don't do this, if you don't police yourself like this, you're gone. I get it. It's draconian, but you tell me how we're going to stop it. We're not. You're right. We got to harden some stuff, but they'll always find something to do.
You know, I think it's a suggestion that a lot of people will go, oh my God, you can't do that. But actually, you know, you can.
You can.
You can. You can say, okay,
you can do whatever you want.
If you're a terrorist, your family, we're not imprisoning your family. We're sending your family.
That's exactly,
your family out of the country.
I'm not throwing you all. I'm not throwing you all in a dungeon.
Right.
At the bottom, and you're not getting out. No. You're actually, guess what? You're all going to live, which is more than you would get in other places.
Right.
You're going to actually go picked up and move back to the crappy place that you left to come here. And we want, and maybe you can reapply in 5 years, maybe not. I don't care. Those are details. But that is the biggest thing you can do to these people is to take away what they care about or to disrupt what matters, which is their family, which they have developed here and fostered here. And as I said before, I'm not talking about the broad Muslim population in the United States. I'm not talking about that.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't care about you. You do what you want to do. But we know the profile of the people who tend to do these things. And we can just keep talking. It's so frustrating, Greg, because every time it happens, whether it's in the United States or overseas, the same, you know, you have de Blasio saying, New York will always resist. Shut up, dude. You can't. There's nothing. It's not de Blasio's fault that this happened. It's not Cuomo, even though I think they're both the worst kind of leaders. It's not anybody's fault to a degree. It's just we have to now think a different way about it. And as long as we don't think a different way about it, I'm sorry. All these people I hear on the news yesterday and today, they're not really serious about stopping it. They're basically admitting we're willing to take some we're willing to take some casualties on this. There's a certain amount that they're willing to take, and that bothers me.
Yeah, when I write my notes for the Five, I was writing about how they're all accusing Donald Trump of politicizing this, and I was looking at it, and I'm going, you know, actually, he's responding in the way we respond. He responds in regards to the presence of terror. What can we do about the presence of terror? But you look at people like de Blasio and Cuomo and the media, Schumer, they're responding to the act of terror after it's done. So when that happens, what you get is, we're strong. We're going to maintain strength. We're going to have that parade. We're going to not let them – we're not going to let them win. But they never talk like that before the attack. They don't talk about the presence of terror. How do you prevent it? They will not do that because you know why? The politicization, the political—I hate that word.
It's the worst word ever.
The politicalization—I think that's how you say it—is about the application of Islamophobia on anyone who expresses concern over radical Islam before an attack. See, they all express horror after an attack. De Blasio expresses horror, and we're better than that. And thank God for law enforcement. Well, you know what? You don't say jack before it happens, because they're the same people, the left, who express who bring up Islamophobia for anybody who says anything. You know what drives me crazy? Like, somebody said something today in a news conference. There are 8 million people in New York City, not including tourists. You know, we have 8 million sets of eyes. Yeah, but we're not allowed to use our mouths. You tell us.
No, that's a good point.
You tell us.
Say something, be called a racist.
Yeah, exactly. See something, say something, don't do anything. That's what this is like. They push and they pull the citizens of this country by telling them that, you know, you should be alert. If you see something, say something, but you will lose your job.
You're gonna actually be publicly vilified and tarred and feathered and called the worst. And Chuck Schumer was particularly, when he opens his mouth, I just cringe. But he was like saying that, hey, listen, you know, Donald Trump, how about showing some leadership and fund the money that we need for anti-terror? I'm thinking to myself, so basically what you're doing, Chuck, is calling for more money for some kind of federal programs, which, by the way, let's talk about those. Are those actual putting surveillance on mosques we know are problems? Or are these like really boondoggly, no one really benefits except the government outreach programs or signs on the subway to say we're united, we're strong? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, where's that money going to?
This is what I've been trying to figure out. Because, like, if I heard that they were gutting, you know, money for terror, I would be really pissed off. No question about it. They're not. So I know that there's something else that they're not telling us. And because I've asked everybody about this, when they go, Gutfeld, it's kind of hard, but it's like, it's not really what you think they're saying. It's something else, and it drives me crazy.
Yeah, it's like, not honest.
Yeah, but the fact is, for example, this guy had an online social media that linked him to other terrorists. And, he was interviewed. This guy was interviewed 2 years ago, 2015. So the feds saw something, and they said something, but at the end, they did nothing. And I'm trying to figure out why, because maybe they were afraid that they were going to lose their jobs. They actually interviewed this dude because of his social network activity. But maybe they felt like the feds even felt like, oh, if we do this, I'm not getting
it's
a
not
promotion.
Worth it.
I'm not going to get
it's
a promotion.
Not worth it.
Yeah, it's not worth
Look, check this out. This is why, you know how de Blasio and that ilk says if we don't have the Halloween parade, the terrorists win.
Mm-hmm.
No, here's how the terrorists win, and they've kind of already won. Think about Major Hassan, Nidal Hassan.
Right.
The guy the army guy.
Right.
There were once he massacred all those military people, we then find out that the U.S. military, there were a lot of people who had bumped into him, who had dealt with him, his commanders, people, and said, this dude is way out of, this guy is like this.
Yes.
Guy. But they did nothing about it because they were afraid of exactly what you just said, which is the public, the ramifications to your career if you stand out. So don't even talk to me, Chuck Schumer or Bill de Blasio or anybody, because they're, like I said, Greg, these people are not, they're not serious about stopping this. And that's what you tell me. You wonder why I get angry. It's because why do I have to be the f-ing adult in the room every time?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why do I have to be the one who points this out and says, guys, you realize this is what it's – am I allowed to curse on the podcast?
Did you know that this is live and it goes to immediately to – no, yeah, we'll bleep it. It just means one of our producers has to spend about 5 minutes like hitting the bleeper thing, going back, and they always go like, "Damn, that was my coffee break."
damn it, man, Shepard made me work. And he, you know what, Greg, why'd you bring him on? Because he really doesn't have anything important to say anyway. He's awful.
So you know,
but you know what I mean? They're not serious, Greg. They're really not serious people about stopping this. They make statements, but they're really not. They're not really going to do the hard work it would take, and the kind of tough decisions and the kind of stuff where it's like, yeah, it's getting borderline to stop this. They're accepting it, and it's just all BS.
Yeah, you know, I go back to that. So there was this argument over politicizing things, and when Trump brings up the visa program and says that's Schumer's beauty, that's politicizing it, and then they go, and then you saw the press conference today where Cuomo and the mayor are going like, you know, he shouldn't be doing that. But you realize that the first political act after terror is the application of Islamophobia. That's the first, because that is not anything but a political act. It is essentially what they are saying is what's worse than the actual terror attack is how you feel afterwards and how your emotions might translate into, you know, anger towards a community. They're already presupposing that you're a bigot. That is a political act. That is a political statement. And somehow that goes under the radar. That happens before anybody says anything. It happens immediately on Twitter. You'll have certain anchors on MSNBC saying stuff like on Twitter saying, oh, here we go again. Oh, they're going to blame. And then they're all like either somehow hoping that it's something else, but it always ends up at a certain, you know. By the way, the reporting on this was so chaotic in New York. I mean, they were saying at the start it was two truck drivers fighting. That's what they thought.
I heard that yesterday. Exactly. Yesterday, you know, I forget what I was doing. I was doing errands or something. And I was like, oh boy, here we go. And it kept changing.
Yeah.
And I texted you. But I like I said, today was I forced myself to do a news blackout because I know what they're going to say.
Yeah.
And what you just said is true also. I guarantee it's probably already happened. I guarantee various news outlets have already published the hand-wringing and fear of what's going to happen to the Muslim community now.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee someone's already written it. And you know what? Once again, that's the kind of stuff. I mean, are you serious? That's what you're worried about? Do you realize how within our rights, or at least understandably, if we had, after 9/11, did you see Americans dragging Muslim people out of their houses and beating them in the street? I mean, no. Were there revenge killings? This is the most tolerant place you can be, and yet we still have our face rubbed in this construct about we are bad, bad people. And it's also why – a quick segue. Mm-hmm. It's also the reason why the NFL thing has gotten so bad, because here's what it is. What the social justice people want you to believe and what they will tell you is – Look at the deep racism we've uncovered. Look at this. It's not what you have uncovered, idiots, is the stiffening of the spine of the American people to being called racists. That's what it is. You are actually encountering resistance from a culture that does not take well to being bullied, to being labeled things. And they're going, you know what? Screw you. I'm not a racist. I'm not. I don't dislike Muslims. That's why I'm a good person to argue this, because most of the people out there have never done what I've done with Muslim people overseas. And so on that way, I can throw that card down very quickly and go, oh, tell me how many Muslim kids you've stuck IVs in that were going to die if I didn't do that. Tell me how many. Oh, you got zero. So it's I'm a special forces guy. I how do I solve this problem? We have people in the country that are doing things that I'd like to think we don't want to continue to happen. Okay, that's how you do it. It's nasty. It's not the best way to do it, but it would stop. So it would work. Put it this way. What's working now? Nothing. Because we just don't have the money, the resources. And I don't want the government. You and I agree. We've talked about this. These big, huge surveillance programs and stuff like that. First of all, they're not effective. They're not sustainable. And they're expensive. So it's like, that's not the way it's going to go. Do you really want to live in a country where it's like that? No. I'll put it on the community here, the Muslim community. We're happy to have you. We're grateful to have you. But if you have people from your community continuing to do this, the people closest to him, you're going to go back to your to the place of origin. We're not going to imprison you. We're not going to torture you. You're just gone.
Yeah.
And watch what happens. It would change quickly, but it's, no one's got the balls to do it.
One of the one of the things that I notice, and you know this, of course, is that this guy followed instructions on how to pull this off. So that shows you that this sort of thing and what you're talking about, the ideology leaps across oceans. You know, their borders aren't going to be able to stop this if you can self-radicalize. So but if you try to explain that to somebody, as long as it's tethered to religion, they immediately go to the bigotry part of it. Well, I can't say anything. So I tried it. Whenever I try to talk about, okay, imagine a thing that leaps oceans and is a contagion that breeds homicidal violence. So if it were like if it were like a disease,
yeah, like a bacteria, or a virus,
yeah,
or something.
And radical jihadism is a brain bacterium. It's a brain germ. Once it infects you, you get, and it's like, what? And so said, what? Well, what do you do about it? Well, then you know what to do. You treat it like a disease. There's a quarantining of jihadists. You go, and it's like, and all that stuff. But as long as in America, as long as you've got the well-meaning liberal and everybody's scared of being called names, because the ideology, the Islamic jihadism is linked to religion, they're the ones that conflate it with mainstream religion, not us. They do.
No, we're the ones actually saying
We're saying it's different. But the people that are calling everybody else Islamophobic is saying that if you call somebody a radical, you're actually defiling or defaming an entire religion. That makes you the bigot. I'm sorry.
And not only that, too, how many times have we heard the argument, well, by putting these things in place or by saying this about Islam, you're going to make them kill you. Well, wait a minute. That doesn't really say much about your opinion of Muslims if you believe that. If you believe that we taking action in a certain way to stop a certain, like you said, that's a good one, a bacterium.
Yeah.
If we stop it that way That just means they'll go crazier. Well, that's not really speaking very well of them, is it? I mean, so actually, we are doing the right thing then, if you're saying that.
The other thing too, before I go, is the last thing that kind of drives me nuts, and I said it in the beginning. You know, I'm worried that the real terror is going to be much bigger and uglier than that. And I always say that, like, even once if they figure out that trucks don't work anymore, they'll find something else. And I coined the phrase terror changes over time. And I'm wondering, could you imagine if the media cared as much about terror change as they did about climate change, imperceptible, maybe a half degree Celsius over 100 years.
Terror change
is constantly changing.
That's a good way to look at it, dude. And because the folks that we're talking about are invested in that concept, the logic that they use to defend what they care about, when you put that logic back on something else, they just shut down and they just go, you suck, you're a bigot. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So in a couple more months, Greg, in a couple more months minimum, something like this is going to happen again, and it'll be the same people on the same TV stations saying the same crap, and nothing's going to get done because it's not going – just like you said – It's a spreading bacterium that can be dealt with if you aggressively deal with it. You isolate it, you excise it, you get rid of it, and the organism is healthier for it. But in this case, no, we can't do that. It's bad, and so that's what's frustrating to me is that, you know, the world's not easy, life's not easy, but there is a way to at least really put a hurting on this, and nobody is doing it because of. The own restrictions, political correctness they've put into place, that's what's really killing us.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's killing us. It's not – the bad guys are going to bad guy. They're going to do that crap. But if they know that their family's going to pay for it, well, if they don't think twice about it, the people that they love are going to think twice about letting this go on.
Mm-hmm.
And
Terry,
I don't know, man. Yeah.
I got to go. I got to go get ready for the five.
Go to makeup.
You got me angry.
Hey, I'm going to be on your show in a couple weeks, too. I'm excited.
Excellent. Well, we always love having you on. You always get the crowd going. You're one of our favorites, even though I can't stand you, Terry. But
you and I personally, if people knew how much we actually hated each other, it's just that, you know, Greg, we're just good. We're good TV together.
That's all it is. That's
all it is. It's just,
we're
just
like,
ratings, Greg.
We're like
ratings.
We're like Lucy and Ricky. That's what we are. We're like George.
We really hate-
We're like George Burns and the – I can't think of the lady's name. Gracie. Yeah. We're like George and Gracie, but one of us can kill the other one. You're probably Gracie who could kill me. You're like Gracie the wrestler.
I am Gracie. I'll put you in a suplex and break your neck. But you know what? As soon as the camera goes, like, hey, everybody, how's it going? Glad you're tuned in. Hey, have a good one. Thanks for having me on, man. And
you got it.
I will be talking to you soon. Be safe, bro.
You too, buddy.
New York City. Okay, see ya.
See ya. Bye.